Next best thing.
It's the next best thing.
I keep getting the next best thing and best of the rest confused. I think because they both have best in them.
Yeah.
But best of the rest ended tonight, so next best thing is now the next best thing.
Yay!
I know, we're still waiting to see who won the finale. It's so exciting.
I know.
So exciting.
So I'm still just excited that I'm connected to the internet.
I am too. My Skype had an issue. I had to like re-download it.
Weird.
The wave of storms destroying the internet across the country.
Pretty much. Tonight they're going to be telling us what their five themes for their shows.
Ooh.
Ooh.
You guys already knew that. Don't sound surprised.
I know, but we did that in sync. Isn't that great?
I know. It was really special.
Great minds. Great minds. First up is I Second That Emotion. Are you guys ready?
Yep.
Sure, I second that.
Alright.
Hey there, Dylan. It's Copper. I don't have my judge until Monday, so I figured I would give it to you alone.
I'm so alone.
Anyway, let's just get right to it. Alright, first week we'll start off simple. Any emotion, any way they want to play it. Sort of like free choice, but still considered an audition in that this will help narrow the contestants down. Week two will be slightly harder. It'll be something along the lines of playing an enraged monologue, but making it sound kind of suppressed in anger. This will help show how well people can manipulate emotions as well as vary their tone without going into what the monologue was originally intended for. It'll show how people can interpret it, too. Week 3 will feature a sad monologue that the contestants have to play extremely sad. This is on the opposite end of the spectrum from week 2, but it'll show how well contestants can transition between emotions and how much more dramatic they can make a normal monologue. Week 4 will be completely different from the rest. I'll write down a monologue that has no emotion or connotation to it, then there'll be a list of emotions that contestants will claim one. Once an emotion has been claimed, it can't be used by another contestant. Then they'll record the emotionless line using the emotion they chose. So if they chose frightened, they would play the line as scared. If they chose angry, they would play the line as such. This will show how well the contestants work in an area and how well they do with emotions they weren't familiar with if their first choice was already chosen. Week 5 will be the most difficult yet. I'll supply a monologue and choose two emotions. The contestants will have to transition between one emotion to the other through the course of the recording. This will show how well the contestants know the line and how to switch between two set emotions and how creatively they can do it. Well, there's five ideas. Thanks for listening.
All right. Does something about Copper to me sounds like a 1940s Private Eye.
I second that.
Any emotion, any way they want to play it.
Any way they want to play that. It.
It's like Joe Friday?
Yeah.
Or Rod Serling.
This is the city. Why did I think this was a singing competition?
I don't know.
That would actually be really wild.
Because I
can totally see Valk singing Raged.
I can't. I sing Raged all the time.
Rage!
This competition will be tough for Valk because she can only do sad and rage.
Yes, that's but we'll supply mean. Copper will supply a chair.
That's good. I love the week 4 idea, you guys, where they has that list and only one person can pick from the list.
Yeah, I thought that was really cool.
I liked week 4 and week 5, although I almost wish that week 5 was really not the contestants' ability to choose the emotions, like that it could be sort of random emotions that they were stuck with to make it more challenging.
Yeah, that would be cool. I like the way that, like, he doesn't have week 4 or 5 earlier, because I think you have to give people a chance to get invested in the show by doing easy themes first, and I think you have that down.
Yeah, I think like he did a really good job of, like, picking really broad themes that people can, like, get into and stuff like that.
The only thing is, if you have that week where the contestants have to pick their theme or their emotion, you might want to do it where, like, each contestant sends you a list from 1 to, like, 20. Like, I don't know, you may have trouble getting everybody to get their emotion picked on time.
And the first come, first serve thing can be a little hard to balance out.
That's never worked for me, because some people always decided, like, not to slack. But it might work for you. I don't know.
Or maybe they could play like a game of apples to apples and whoever wins gets to pick first.
Oh, apples to apples.
It's the new ponies.
Oh, dear. That's because they've incorporated ponies into Apples to Apples. So that's the all worlds for them. Anyway, I was honestly quite impressed with these themes because some of them I never would have thought of or have heard before. It seems like he's got original ideas, and I like the show.
It also like fits his show really well. Like they all make sense in his show, which I think is really good because sometimes you have themes and you're like, that doesn't make any sense. You're like, well, like what's the point of that?
I'm pop star every week. It grows. This show grows on me every week I hear it.
Yeah, I think it sounds like Copper really knows what he's doing, and he seems like really organized about what he's doing.
Yeah, so, I this is one I would listen to.
I definitely trust his judgment.
So the one downside that I didn't think of until we started this, and since Copper was the first into the fire, he's the one who gets hit first by it, is the fact that if he's going to do the show, he kind of can't do this order now. Because everybody's going to kind of know what's coming and prepare for it.
He can still do the order.
No,
listens to this show.
No, people listen to the show. But I think that, like, people have to go into an audition from... Like, if somebody auditions for a show that is on this show, I think they need to, like, recognize that, like, it might be different than a show you're used to. Because it's been, like, fleshed out. And in some ways, it'll be better. And in some ways... Technically, you could consider it worse, quote unquote, if you know the themes. So I don't know.
I like what he's come up with. I would actually, I'd actually like to see like if this goes through and it happens and you get into deeper rounds. I'd really like to see things that are completely. In college it was called the Stroop effect. You know, you see the word yellow. It's a psychological term. You see the word yellow, but the font is green. You know, and your brain wants to say green because it sees green.
Yeah, I've seen that before.
Yeah, that's really cool.
So like the idea that you have something, he was talking about doing something that was non-emotional and putting an emotion to it. But I'd almost really like later on, or as an immunity challenge, to have something that is so polar opposite from the emotion that you're supposed to do. That would be really cool to see. But
that
I like
this.
That
would be really cool to see.
Yeah, I liked it too. I think this is going to be a strong one tonight.
It is. It was very solid. It made sense and was just like, this is what I'm doing and deal with it.
Are you guys ready to move on?
I am ready to move on, yes.
All right. Bright Disasters shows up next.
All right.
Yeah.
Hi there. This is Bright Disaster and this is my submission for the next best thing. Five themes. Okay. Five themes. I was thinking about one of the themes could be, you know, we've had shows that have had the theme of, you know, you take where the contestant takes the words of one song and puts it into the melody of another. But I thought, let's take that one step further. And one of the themes could be called Mix-Up Week, which would be like, they choose two songs that have about the same thing, kind of around the same ideals. You know, both songs have to deal somewhat with each other. Like, you know, two songs that generally have to deal with love or so on and so forth. You split down each one into the middle and you put them together. So at one point in the song, it'll immediately switch to the other song and you can see how the transition is between the two. I think it would make them practice, which would be good. It would help them to you know, they'll know when to switch and they'll be able to kind of, you know, predict that kind of. Okay, number two is Roaring Twenties Jazz. I really like that era of jazz and I think it's a foundation in today's music. I think we should, you know, have some like Ella Fitzgerald and Duke Ellington and George Gershwin, all that, you know. Because really, there were some excellent songs in that era, and I think that it could be a good theme. Foreign. I know I put that just because of the fact that I am kind of an anime video game nerd. It does not have to be Japanese, though. I put foreign because... anything, you know, if you live in America, anything that's not American is connotated as foreign for you. So, you know, if you had I know some Dutch songs are out there that are pretty good. Swedish, German, you know, Japanese, British. It doesn't matter. Whatever is foreign to you, is what is open for that theme. Judge's choice. Okay, yeah. So, you know, you've heard of contestant's choice, where the contestant chooses. But here's an interesting twist on that, where the judges choose your song. And that way, and they give you a week to learn it and sing it and see how you do. I think it would be a good idea because it, you know, it introduces the contestant to another type of music that they may not be familiar with, but they can still, you know, be introduced to it in the week that they're learning it. And then lastly is acoustic themes. To basically find a unplugged version of a song and sing it. At some point that may be better for near the end, so that, you know, because it might take a little bit of work, because some bands don't release their acoustic karaoke's, so, or acoustic instrumentals. So what might we have to do for that theme would, you may need to find either if you know how to play guitar, if you have a friend who knows how to play guitar, either way, they can play it for you and you can sing it. That way you don't have to, you know, scare us, try to find a freaking karaoke when it's impossible. Anyway, that's my five. I hope you like. And I guess I'll find out tomorrow. Ciao.
So that was Bright Disaster in his Shuka tournament?
Shaka Zulu.
I don't know how to pronounce it. It's something to do with Dragon Ball Z is what I know.
Ah.
Who would like to start?
I go. Okay. No, Rochelle can go. Ladies first.
Reed should go first because he's a man. Therefore, his ideas are more intelligent.
Oh my god, wow.
Crap, too much pressure now.
Holy crap. Okay. First of all, I think some of your... first of all, this was really confusing. Like, the way that you described everything just did not make sense to me. You need to be more, like...
confident?
And more, like...
And direct.
Plan out what you're going to say so that, like, we know exactly what you're talking about. Because right now, you're kind of like, well, this is my idea. This is my idea. This is my idea. This is my idea. Like, it was weird. My other problem was... with some of your themes, like, I was worried about karaoke's. Like
the 20s jazz?
Yeah, like the 20s.
Never going to find them.
You're not going to find karaoke's for that. And also the foreign one, like, I guess you'd find them for, like, Japanese stuff, like anime songs, because, like, tons of people do that. But, like...
well, some bands you listen to are Canadian, so, you know, that's...
but,
here's,
like,
the problem.
He was talking about, like, Sweden and stuff, and I was like, you're not going to find karaoke's for Sweden songs.
Yeah, but maybe they could just do foreign songs, like Foreigner.
You can find karaoke's, but here's the problem. If you make people sing in a foreign language, they're going to drop out. And in a tournament format, that is not good.
That's a good point.
Because there will be a lot of people without opponents. That's what I'm looking for.
Yeah, and you need people who are going to stay in if it's a tournament style thing, because you can't have people dropping, because then it would make, like, it could potentially make an uneven number, and then you have to, like, do, like, threes.
Tournament style is hard to pull off. I don't know how he's going to do it.
And also, like, a lot of your themes have been done before. Like, you should have the, like, acoustic one. That was, like, the story of Cover It's Life.
So was, like, the mashup theme.
Yeah, the first theme could have been summed up with the word mashup.
We did that on Cover It, like, twice, I think.
Yeah, and, like, the mashup thing's, like, really hard, too. Like, especially if you start... because you were saying that, like... did he say one of the themes or the first theme? Like, did he have them in an order?
I don't know that he had them in an order. He seemed a little bit scattered. He may have just been naming stuff off the top of his head.
Okay.
And you have to also understand, Bright, that in Cover It, as Dylan will tell you, I think only one person didn't complain when Mashup came up.
They didn't complain to me. They know better.
Yeah.
They did complain
People freaked out when it was Mashup.
But people still did it, and they turned in a good... They did a good job.
But it spooked them, and I'm just worried it'll spook people away.
Yeah. Like I said, especially in a tournament, a lot of your ideas, you're going to get a lot of dropouts, and that sucks for a tournament.
I just don't think that's, like... I think you should pick easy themes. Like for a tournament-style thing, you should be doing, like, very general themes, like... that are easy for people to find songs in, and I felt like these were very specific things, and, like, very challenging. And, like, I appreciate your attempt to, like,
make it
different and make it original. Like, that's really great. But the tournament style kind of makes it original enough that, like, I think that you need to stick to themes, sorry, that are going to make people want to stay on your show and stay in your show, not get foreign and have people be like, well, screw that, I don't know what I'm doing.
I did say to make the themes original, so that's probably why I was doing that. I do think for your show, it's like she just said, it's better to have simple themes that people aren't going to get spooked by.
Yeah, like for Best of the Rest, we always did like country or rock because like it was a show where we had to like coach people and like help them pick songs and stuff like that, and it was just easier to pick like such a broad thing as opposed to like a show like Cover It where it's like, yeah, I don't know.
Cover It's probably the... has probably been the most specific genre show.
Yeah.
You know, like that's probably had the most specific challenges of it.
But we also had, I would say, that we had a really strong field on Cover It too, that were capable of doing that kind of thing. I don't think random people are gonna wanna do it. I think they're gonna get scared.
Yeah, I agree.
Like mashups especially, like I know I really struggled with mashups. Like I had Faded help me my week because I was like really struggling and like I don't know, like there are people who are, like, really good singers who don't know how to do that kind of stuff even. So, like, not that I'm, like... That kind of makes me sound like I'm tooting my own horn. I'm sorry. But you know what I mean.
I have no idea what you're talking about.
I said that... You said that, like, Cover It had, a strong group of, like, talented people who, like, know how to do that stuff. And I was saying that, like, I super sucked at mashups and I, like, needed help. And, like, I'm good, I guess, was the general... And then that's when I said, oh god, that sounds like I'm tooting my own horn. But I...
Yes, but you didn't win Lone Star, so it's...
No, you can't expect to be able to be that good at these shows unless you won Lone Star or show.
I don't know.
Sorry. Okay.
Also, I don't know if I would... let's see, how many rounds are we talking about here? He was going to have 16 people, so he has 7 or 8 rounds. To have fourth round be judge's choice might be a little early. I mean, you could. It's not a big deal, but you might think about doing that a little bit later on.
But that many people I guess if it's a tournament...
It's hard
though,
on the judges. It's hard.
Oh, go ahead.
No, I was going to say, I mean, these guys know more than I do, but I've been in the having to pick as a judge seat. That's hard. It's actually really hard to do, to find something that matches the person's voice. You kind of need to wait until later in the season when you get a better sense of their voice and... You don't end up picking something that's going to kind of sabotage them.
But if it's a tournament, like, it's only going to be, like, 4 or 5 rounds, I think.
Oh, okay.
That's true.
All right, well,
that's
true.
I don't know. I just think the judges' choice should always come later because, A, you get to know your contestants' voices really well based on the songs that they pick. And, B, it's, like, less work for you because, like, choosing songs for people is really hard. Yeah. So, I don't really have anything else to say.
Okay, let's move on to Russ.
Hi, Russ. Sounds as though we've been getting a bit of a buzz about acting up lately.
Yeah, a bunch of people are really excited and want to know more. They want to know what our challenges will be, so I thought we could describe them.
All of them? Just how long of a recording do you want to make?
Some? Like, 8? 5?
5 works. 5's good. Why don't we start with the early basic ones and then describe a couple of the more exotic ones.
Okay. The first challenge will be clear and strong. Except for special effects, the only way the audiences will know what's going on is through the lines you speak. And by you, we mean our voice actors. Diction is critical, so the audience can understand your lines. And your lines need to be said with energy to breathe life into your characters. Some people prefer to use the term levels, but it's pretty much the same thing. Without energy, the shows will be boring. Nobody wants that.
But we don't want you just reading lines, however energetically. Characters, like real people, have emotion. So our Do It With Feeling challenge will test your abilities to show us the appropriate emotion in your lines. This is how you make your characters believable.
Characters do not spring fully formed from the page. As an actor, it is your responsibility to develop your character, primarily by internalizing what kind of person would actually say the lines you're given, but also through collaboration with the director and your fellow actors. In our Who Am I challenge, you will work as a group, to find depths in your characters and reflect that in your readings.
Now, most characters in most radio plays that we do tend to have generic American accents, and you can use your normal voice. But sometimes, that doesn't work. So it's a valuable skill for a voice actor to take on alternative voices and accents. We're going to challenge you to create new voices for your characters in an episode we'll call Eccentric.
When recording in the studio, the director can ask for different readings of lines on the spot, and you can hear how your fellow actors are doing their own lines, so you know how to react to them. Most amateur voice actors, however, record remotely. Among other things, this means that you really don't know how the lines you're reacting to were read. To minimize the number of retake requests needed to get readings that will work, it's a best practice to record three or a bit more different readings for each line. Emphasis on the different. It drives producers to distraction to receive many virtually identical takes. In our Take 3 episode, we'll challenge you to create three different yet valid interpretations of each line.
These are just a sampling of the challenges we'll be asking our contestants to undertake. To hear more, you're going to have to listen in.
All right.
Russ.
Russ!
And Medity.
I don't have a
Russ
voice for her.
Russ and Medity. Medity. That's my mouth, Medity.
Oh, God.
What?
She did a sexy
now
voice.
Now you sound like a creeper.
I know. That doesn't do her voice justice. Reed, why don't you start?
Okay. Thank you. Actually, I like this a lot. I thought this was... First of all, I like how you guys produced it. It was entertaining to listen to. I like the five things that you have. I'm going to just say that I have a particular experiential bend, having been through Conquer Your Voice, with the style that you're doing here. And I do want to say that you guys, and I think I've spoken to Russ about this before, you guys are going to have a real challenge between with the idea of trying to separate out a sub-segment of something somebody does and not take all those other things into consideration at the same time. So you will need to figure out a way to work on that. Like this concept of diction and energy is just... It's never isolated from everything else. There's always other things that go in it. When it was a sing competition, it was our bugaboo was always pitch. You know, like the episode wasn't about pitch, but you couldn't ignore if somebody was off pitch. So you're going to need to think about if their diction is fine, but their character is not. How does that work as far as judging that particular episode? And I'll just make the suggestion that what we did is we just said that whatever the focus was like 60-70% of the vote, and everything else played some role, just not as much. But I liked the stuff. I liked the concepts and how you explained why, and I liked the little names that you came up for each category. I thought this was good.
Yeah, I like that each theme seems to have a title. I like that a lot.
Yeah.
That makes
especially
me happy.
Especially the eccentric.
So I love the way they presented it.
So this is like it's a straight up voice acting competition, it sounds like. It just focuses specifically on voice acting, correct?
That's what I got the impression of, yeah.
I don't think anything like that has been done before. I like that.
Mm-hmm.
I think this was a good one. I liked all the themes. It sounded like music you would hear at Epcot that was going on behind you, and that made me happy. I don't know why, but it did to me.
Maybe you're...
Yeah, the music in the background was like kind of making me space out a little bit.
Okay. I had to listen to this twice because I spaced out, but I don't know that that was necessarily your fault, so. I don't know. I liked it, though.
Yeah, I liked it a lot.
What'd you think, Rishima?
Yeah, I really liked this. I love the way they presented it, like, with, like, the, and then with this challenge, and then they're like, oh, and then with this challenge. Like, it was, like, cute. They had this little skit going. I liked that they had music. I didn't like the music choice because it made me kind of like, yeah, the whole, like, thing that you said about the Epcot thing, it sounded like when you're on the ride and they're like, this is Spaceship Earth.
Yeah.
And you're, like, looking,
yeah.
You're, like, and it's like, where, and you're, like, looking at the thing.
You're just going to kill me now.
And, like, so that was kind of weird. But, like, other than that, I thought this was super well organized. And it was, like, very clear what they were doing. And, like, it was really interesting. Like, their challenges were a lot, like, different. Like, they were, like, the week one was this, week one was that. And they were kind of, like, varying a little bit. So it was good.
Yeah,
I really enjoyed that.
They're all, like, original ideas, too. And yeah. It sounds like they have a very clear idea of what they want to do, which I like that too.
Yeah, sounds like they've talked about it and like really thought it over, and I like that they were able to like script something together and like make it like into a thing as opposed to just like getting up and being like, so we're going to do this energy challenge and then we're going to do this character challenge and like, yeah.
I've done episodes of shows in the past where it was just like energy for like a singing show, and we were able to focus just on the energy, but it was like, it sucked because at the time there were still some sketchy singers, I think, in the competition, and we had to like send out, a good singer left, I think, that week because we were just focusing on the energy, which in hindsight was not a great idea on our part, but
So if you just don't make it the entire focus, if you just make it the emphasis.
I agree with what Reed was saying about the whole cocky your voice thing.
But I like this overall.
Me too. So
that, you know what? The other thing that was interesting with this is as I was listening to this, I was putting myself into the position of would I want to be on the show or would I want to listen to the show? And I found that as each one of these things came out, I was like, oh, wow, that sounds really hard. And then you guys somehow made it comfortable. Like, as I was listening to it more, I'm like, oh, no, that's doable.
Yeah.
You know,
they explained it in a way that made it not sound as daunting.
Yeah.
Yeah, it just sounded really fun. Like, honestly, really wanted, like, I've mentioned this on the podcast too, I think, Dylan, that I, like, really want this show to happen because I really want to be on
Me too. I hope it does. should we move on to Flynn?
Yeah.
Okay. Sure.
Flynn's labeled hers round two themes, round two five themes, round two five themes, so I don't know which show is which, so we're going to listen to her first pitch now.
Okay.
Hello, Dylan. And Rochellular, and Reed, if he's there. Dr. Brian. Yeah. This is Flynn. This is my entry for Around the World in a single show. The themes, we would have several, obviously. There are quite a few that we're thinking of. One in particular, we'd probably do early on, is to find a country of your heritage and tell a myth or legend from that country. For example, I'm Irish, partially. I could tell an Irish legend. I could tell a Swedish legend. I'm Swedish. You could find any legend or any myth from a country that, you know, that's part of your heritage. And I would really like to do that earlier on because that would get people into it. It would get them excited. It would help them to learn more about their own culture, too, and their own history and their own past, their family's past. And that's one thing that really sparked me. I thought that sounded like a lot of fun. Melly came up with that originally. Another one, I would really like to do Grecian myths. I would really like to have some people really delve in and find some ones that are not your classic run-of-the-mill Artemis, Zeus tales. I would like to pick, during the course, at least one, I don't want to say obscure country, but one where you wouldn't think of a lot of different myths and legends, such as Papua New Guinea, or Romania, or Lithuanian. You could find some Lithuanian legends. I've found some links online and stuff. I've researched this and found some places that do give legends, a few legends of more less of countries that are less known for their legends and myths. Another thing I would like to do, this will be the fourth theme, is some story or an excerpt or a poem from an author from the industrial era. There are several that are very well known. Victor Hugo, Hans Christian Andersen, Keats and Shelley, we've got Washington Irving, Jane Austen, we've got Walter Scott, we've got so many different authors and poets from so many different countries, and there are so many things we can choose from. Just, it has to be from the industrial era, during that time. Another time era I would like to do is to read a short story of one of those private eye, roaring 20s almost type of that little small era, the roaring 20s that kind of went in World War II and around then, because that was, private eyes were huge, we had gangs, it was such an amazing era, at least for America, in literature and cultural style. I would love to find some a collection of short stories or stories that are at least set in that era, not necessarily written. There are so many we could do. I'd like to do some Solomon in Kimono, 1 week for that. And then for immunities, I haven't given that too much thought, but for immunities we could always go more specific or something similar. For example, the Grecians. Immunity for that week could be, I would like to hear your take on this particular tale. Or, if reading from the industrial era, we could find a particular author or poem that's popular and say, read something from this author. Read a poem from this particular well-known poet. Or something. I mean, you know, there are several things we could do with this. And I'm really, really excited for this show. There are boundless opportunities, and there are as many opportunities as there are countries and eras in the world. So, hope you enjoy. Thank you very much.
I honestly think that this show will be really entertaining and informative as far as other people's cultures.
Yeah, moosey, moosey, moosey.
I love the themes. I think I like that you researched it and have found links. I still say this is one of the frontrunners as far as originality is concerned, but for me, like, what does the industrial era have to do with the theme of the show?
I wanted to know also.
I dislike that. And, like, the Roaring Twenties, I think you're talking about Pulp Fiction. And, again, I'm unsure what that has to do with the theme. That confused me.
I agree.
It could be around the world and around history in a single show. Then it would make more sense.
Yeah.
I liked it overall. What
do
you
think? Yeah, the history thing confused me because it was like she was talking about
Russian judge gives it to five.
But then, oh, also, I didn't understand her beginning.
What she introduced herself?
She was like, "Hi, Dylan."
At the beginning, I had stopped sucking up and give us the themes.
I was kind of like, "Why are you like awkwardly making us wait for you to start talking? This is weird."
It gives extra 30 seconds.
And. I loved, like Dylan said, I love that you included heritage. I think that was, like, a really cool thing, and it's unique. Like, not a lot of shows are like, oh, like, you know, sing a song that means this to you and your
heritage. No shows do that.
That's what I'm saying. There's nothing like that. There's no, like, oh, act something from this that, like, is you. You know, it's all based on, like, this is the theme, and you have to do a song to fit that theme. Like, you don't see a lot of, like, how does this fit you kind of thing. Mm-hmm. So I think that's really interesting and a really, really, really great, 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 like, thing to include. I wish you had gone in more of an order, like Copper did, or like how Ress and Medity did it, because it would have seemed more organized, but you are organized. It's weird, because, like, you are talking about all these links and having all these sources and, like, these ideas, and you're like, I have so many ideas. And you were talking about them, and you were talking about them really well, and I really appreciated what you had. I just wish you had gone in more order just to make yourself seem a little more organized, even though I have a feeling, like, you are pretty organized, because you
were
talking
about... I didn't get that she was unorganized from this at all.
It just sounded like...
The presentation wasn't organized.
I wish her presentation had been a little bit more formal, because this was, like, super casual, which I guess we didn't really ask for it to be... I guess I just liked the way that Copper and Russ did it very, like, formally. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I see.
The Russian judge gives it five. No, I agree with Rochelle about that country heritage one. I like that a lot. You need to be more confident in your presentations, Flynn. Like, you had a lot of material here that you could have presented in a more confident way. I think it would have come up stronger. I actually think that this show is going to be hard as hell on you. This is all going to be dumped onto your shoulders or whoever's running this, because when you do some of these things, you're going to have so many links available already for people to be able to get some stuff. I mean, except for the country of heritage thing, that was pretty cool. But you were talking about when you start talking about the Grecian myths and going obscure, my first thought was the Roaring Twenties. It's like, you know, the whole same thing that we told Bright. It's if you get so obscure that you can't find anything, you're going to end up having to supply the links for people.
Also, I was wondering about that, too, the whole, like, obscure thing. There was, like, something she was talking about. There was a couple moments when she mentioned novels, like, novelists. Like, there was a moment when she mentioned Jane Austen, and I was like, well, how would you do Jane Austen?
Well, she said You could, like, poems or such by these authors.
Does Jane Austen have poems?
I don't know, but I think she's just giving an example of people from the...
Oh, okay. I guess I was just confused by her, like, thing about novelists.
I think you should rethink your... That theme, unless you're like, it has to be by Steam Age authors from Britain or something like that.
Yeah.
Or pulp fiction stories from America, or set in New York, or set in San Francisco, or something like that. Because otherwise, I think it defeats the theme of your show.
Right, and I agree with Dylan on this first point about like where does Private Eye short stories and industrial era stuff come into around the world? That's sort of.
If it's like
out of tune with the theme.
But if she says they have to be like Pulp Fiction stories set in a certain city or a certain country, it works. I just think it needs to be refined a little bit. And then I think you can do a second show, which is stories from different eras of history.
That would be cool, a cool sequel show.
Whatever. Anyway.
But you know, my favorite part of this presentation was that she said read a lot at the end. I'm just kidding.
I just like listening to her talk. She has a cool voice. Are you guys ready for her next presentation?
I am.
Sure, why not?
Let's do it.